Current state on 90.5 WKAR and AM 870 WKAR, always at WKAR.org. She Sees Metaphors is the debut novel from Lansing writer Bryce David Salazar. It's the story of a young woman whose life is complicated by bizarre metaphoric visions. The Robin Theater in Lansing's Rio Town will host a book release event with Salazar Friday night from 8 to 11 p.m. Current state Scott Pohl talked with Bryce David Salazar about the fictitious world he's created in She Sees Metaphors.
Bryce David Salazar, welcome to Current State.
Thanks for having me.
All right, I'm going to read a description that's directly from your website for She Sees Metaphors. Here it is, okay? Jacqueline Schuler sees the world in metaphors, like literally. And I'm going to point out that she really, really does. The description of the things she sees on faces, on walls, everywhere she looks, really, it's as if a book of metaphors kind of exploded before the reader's eyes. So I need to ask you at first, where did this idea come from of her life being so enveloped with metaphors?
Unfortunately, I have a very terrible memory retention where my ideas come from. I do remember having like variations of the idea kind of vaguely, probably in my early 20s. And I remember one morning just sitting down and writing a short story that was actually later rewritten and reworked on and became a chapter in the novel called Her Narnia, Her Oz, Her Wonderland. And I wrote it, put it in a drawer, ignored it for about 3 or 4 years. And later, when I started taking writing a bit more seriously, that's when I kind of got the idea that maybe I could flesh this out and turn it into something a bit longer.
If this was really happening to someone, it would be wildly disturbing, I would think, to have all these visions of metaphoric images while talking with people or interacting with the world around you. But Jackie seems to take all of this in stride. That's not to say she's otherwise a typical character. She has her flaws, lots of them, I suppose you might think, but living a life like this would be terribly difficult, it would seem.
Yeah, that was actually a pretty big challenge for me to work on, trying to find a way to have her deal with them. But at the same time, I didn't want to write a story that was basically about a young girl freaking out and hiding in her bedroom. That's not very visual or appealing to the whole thing. So the basic idea that I really wanted to portray was that even though what she was seeing wasn't always beautiful and it was often terrifying, the whole point was for her to keep on living. If the book was allegorical towards anything, I guess I really wanted it to kind of be more symbolic of, I guess, like depression and anxiety and just the idea that, you know, things are terrifying, things are depressing, and things can be ugly, but her objective is to just keep on living because that's basically all you can do.
Do you think these issues are because of the way she sees metaphors, or maybe even in spite of them, they would have happened anyway, maybe?
I think they would have happened, but I don't think the story would have been exactly the same. Some of the issues that she deals with that are very hard on her, she can kind of foreshadow. There is one character, there are a couple characters in the book, actually, where she sees that they're actually kind of on a downward path, like they're coming up on the end of their lives, and she has to deal with the mortality of the people she cares about. If she didn't see them in metaphors, then she would have had no idea. Everything would have been a surprise to her. So I think if she had seen the world as we see it, then she would not have gone through the same precursor. Instead of all the anxiety and the fear that she was facing before they died, it would have come as a surprise and she would have dealt with it in the after the moment. But since she kind of had the foreshadowing of it, it kind of helped build on something that was already there.
Does she try to act on these bits of information that she seems to pick up about the future, or does she try to hide that information from the others around her?
She does both. It depends what the situation is. There is one situation where a friend is an addict. There's another situation where her friend is severely depressed, and there is another situation where someone has a brain tumor. So you can't exactly just go up to someone randomly and suggest, you know, a brain tumor, or say, hey, I know that you're in a severe rut and contemplating suicide. There are times where she lets it go, and there are times where she tries to act on it and to see if she can help.
Bryce David Salazar of Lansing is the author of She Sees Metaphors. There will be a book release event Friday, September 4th at the Robin Theater in Lansing's Rio Town. Tell us a bit about Jackie's family and friends.
She comes from a kind of a larger family. Two parents, an older sister, a younger brother, and two even younger siblings who are twins. The Schuller family basically comes more or less from my imagination. However, I did kind of steal a little bit from my own family. I am the oldest of a family of four kids and two parents, so I kind of knew where I was coming from, writing from a bigger family and how you kind of interact with your younger siblings. But I'm very grateful to say they are nothing like my actual family. Her friends are something that I took from my experiences at Catholic school, where I've noticed where you grow up with someone and for the most part you stay in touch with them from elementary school through high school and in often cases in college. So her two closest friends in the novel are people that she has known since she was a kid and grew up with, whereas a lot of my friends now are still people that I've known since we were 6 years old on the playground. We just kind of stayed in touch.
All these people seem to be, to at least a certain extent, oblivious to her visions. Has she never spoken to them about these visions?
No. If she were to approach people and tell them what they thought, obviously no one would believe her. It's a very subjective gift she's given. There's no proof of it. There's no evidence of it. And insisting on it wouldn't exactly wield any positive results. So she just kind of lets it go.
Now, you hint at some Lansing locales from time to time in the book. Tell me about the decisions you made in that regard.
I wanted to use Lansing. It's my hometown. But when you're dealing with the metaphors, which are supposed to be objective in the book, it was difficult to use a lot of actual locations objectively. A place that I like might not exactly be a place somebody likes. I know from working in places where the public really enjoys it that I personally don't care for it. I know it's difficult. So I took a lot of inspiration from Lansing, but I kind of tweaked and rearranged a lot of locations and kind of made it so it was its own fit for the novel, and I have added places. The one place that I did blatantly take was an old cafe in East Lansing, Cafe Latte, which is where when I was playing in bands as a kid, that's where I would go to watch shows and that's where I would go to play shows, and it meant a lot to me. And so since it no longer exists anymore, I decided to include it because it holds a lot of great memories for me, and I know people who have grown up in Lansing that it holds a lot of great memories for. So that was the one that I did blatantly use without any question because I loved it and I wanted to kind of pay tribute to a part of my childhood.
She Sees Metaphors is the new novel from Lansing writer Bryce David Salazar. Bryce, you'll be answering questions and doing a reading at this event, so I wonder if you could read a little of She Sees Metaphors for us.
Absolutely. It's early, and most of the city sleeps. The main street is a calm stream that will grow vicious and ugly as the morning traffic of 9 to 5 freaks and lovelies make their way to work or wherever it is they happen to be in the early hours. A man made from wet and sloppy excrement is crossing the street towards Jackie's building. Flies surround and cling to his body as though he were a treasure to be protected, a treasure that drips filth and leaves a path of excrement in his wake. He shuffles past a girl with lines of poetry and prose dissolving and forming across her exposed, pure white skin while she sips from a to-go cup of something unhealthy and delicious. Just another Tuesday.
Tell me about the cover art.
I absolutely adore the cover art. The cover is from Lori Wisemantle. She and her husband, John James, who are very close friends of mine, were the ones who put everything together. Lori did the art on a canvas and just put it together for random things around her house, a bicycle wheel, a piece of a remote control, even chunks of a broken toilet. And she just assembled this face on top of a landscape that she painted. And John, her husband, who also was one of the proofreaders of the novel and helped give me suggestions and like edit, took a picture of it, put it in Photoshop, and then helped craft it so it actually became a cover.
Is the image meant to give you an indication of what her visions are like when she's looking at people?
I believe it to be a composite of different images. When I approached Lori about doing the cover, I actually own a painting that she has done, so I have been a fan of her work for about 2 or 3 years, ever since she and I met. And so when I approached her to do the cover, I didn't make any requests. I didn't have anything in mind specifically because I enjoyed her work so much that I didn't want to restrict her. The only thing I did was tell her where the barcode would be so she would know that that was going to appear no matter what. And besides that, I just let her go to town. I just let her do full creativity. I find artists, when given that kind of freedom, will produce something much better than I probably could have imagined.
Bryce David Salazar is the author of the novel She Sees Metaphors. He'll be at a book release party at the Robin Theater in Lansing's Rio Town on Friday, September 4th. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
For Current State, I'm Scott Pohl.